So this is me in holiday mode, totally forgetful. Okay, so our reading today comes from Luke chapter 2, from verse 41 to 52. So read along with me. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man.
We're all in holiday mode a little bit. At TCBC, the staff get between Christmas and New Year off. And so we're all kind of in holiday mode. So it's a fun end to the year. Let me pray as we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to reflect on your word together at the end of this year. We pray now, as Jen has already prayed, that you would be at work in our hearts, enabling us to come to terms with 2024 and have your perspective as we look to 2025. So we pray, be with us now by your Spirit, Lord Jesus, and we pray that in your name. Amen. So normally a sermon is meant to give you an opportunity to reflect on your life. I think that's one of the great blessings and great benefits of sermons. People will go to church, and if you think about it, if you're in church every week, then you've got about half an hour each week during this sermon slot to think about your life, to reflect on it in relation to God's word, to hear what God has to say about the way that you're living, to think back over decisions you've made, over choices you've made, to reflect on your own morality, and to grow as a person. And I read somewhere that that it's a problem for society that the vast majority of people have lost that in their lives. So 50 to 100 years ago, most people went to church. Most people had an opportunity each week to sit and reflect and grow and think about their choices against a standard that is higher than them. And people have lost that opportunity now, or they don't take that opportunity and use it. So we've got the opportunity to do that, but usually in our sermon time, it's more me talking or whoever's up the front and you listening. And I don't even know how well we give you this opportunity to reflect on your own life. So at the end of this year, as the last Sunday of the year, I thought, what if most of the time in the sermon slot was you reflecting on your own life? You reflecting on the previous year and you thinking about the next year. And the way we're going to do that is I've given you one of these. You got one as you walked in. If you don't have one, put up your hand and we'll get one to you. It looks like everyone has one, and a pen as well. And there are 5 questions on this little piece of paper. I'm going to give you 3 minutes per question. I'll talk for a little bit between the questions, but you'll have 3 minutes per question to write down answers. No one will then take this from you, so no one will read your answers unless you want them to. And it would be a great idea to share with someone if you're willing to, you know, sometime during the week about how you reflected on these questions. But that's completely up to you. This opportunity is just for you to reflect privately on your own life, on your own experience of life this year, and as you look to next year. Why is reflection so important? This passage that's been read to us has a lot to say as we approach this task. In the story, we see Joseph and Mary frantically searching for 12-year-old Jesus. They start off not knowing that they've lost him, not knowing what they've lost. That's actually a good little example of what I was talking about a week ago when we were talking about clan and about the extended family living together. One result of that is you might lose your 12-year-old for a couple of days and not know that he's gone because he's living with some of the cousins and he's kind of traveling with them. So they've left Jerusalem after the Passover festival as an extended family and haven't even noticed that their 12-year-old is missing for an entire day. So that's a great little glimpse of that clan structure where they trusted their extended family. Anyway, they then realize what they've lost. They realize their mistake. And we see them running around, looking, searching, trying to find what they've lost. They're frantic. They're anxious. It's chaos. In contrast, we see Jesus. When we meet Jesus, he is sitting in the temple courts. He's quite calm. He doesn't even know why they're anxious. He's doing exactly what he needs to be doing. He is exactly where he needs to be. And this knowledge, this secure sense of identity and purpose flows out of his relationship with God. He says, I'm in my Father's house. That's where I'm meant to be. As you look back over 2024, to whom are you more alike? Are you similar? Are you like Jesus? Rested. Centered on your strong sense of identity and purpose, doing exactly what you're meant to be doing? Or are you like his parents, frantically searching for something you've lost along the way? I think it's pretty safe to say that we would like to be Jesus. We'd like to be like Jesus in this situation. We'd like to have that clarity of purpose in our lives. That sense that I know what I'm meant to be doing and I'm doing it. I know who I am. I know what I'm here for. But so often we're more like Jesus' parents, running around looking for something we've lost and not even knowing where to look to find what we need. One of the messages of this passage is that we find what we need in the Father's house. The Father's house. Jesus said, you should have known to look for me there. There's this message that you should have known to look in the Father's house for what you need, for what you're seeking. There in the Father's house is calm, peace, purpose, and resilience. That's where we stop our frantic and chaotic worrying. That's where the search ends and we find where we belong. And so this afternoon, I want to invite you to the Father's house. I want to invite you to a place of quiet reflection. As we do this, the first question I want to ask is reflecting back on what happened in the previous year. In our passage, we see Jesus going each year to Jerusalem with his family to celebrate the Passover. The Passover was an annual tradition. It was their most important holiday. So think of it similar to Christmas for us in modern Australia, even though it's more related to Easter. It was their most significant holiday, and they'd gather in the temple, they'd go to Jerusalem each year to celebrate the Passover. I imagine for the boy Jesus, it was a chance to see many people he knew that he wouldn't otherwise see during the year. Maybe he'd see the cousins once a year. And it'd be a chance for him as a 12-year-old to look at his cousins and say, wow, you've grown in the last year. And he'd notice that he's also grown in the last year. And it would be a chance to talk about what's happened over the last year. I think it would be similar to maybe going on summer camp or hanging out with those cousins you only see once a year. You're a year older now, and it's a chance to tell them what's happened over the last year. So what I'd love you to do is, as we start this reflection, is just take 3 minutes to answer that first question that you've got on your piece of paper. I encourage you to write your answers and don't look at the person next to you. Take a moment to reflect on the past year. What events, changes, joys, and challenges stand out to you. I'll give you 3 minutes and then I'll continue on. Passover is about God's grace. When Jesus went to Jerusalem as a 12-year-old, he would have had the opportunity to reflect on God's grace in his life, because Passover is the celebration, the remembrance of God rescuing the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. It was an experience of God's goodness and his grace in history, and it inspired people to think about God's goodness and his grace in their own lives. What about you? Where have you experienced God's goodness and grace this year, both in big moments and in small ones? What can you give thanks for? This is an opportunity to grow in thankfulness. Someone after the morning service told me that this was a really meaningful question for them, because it's so easy to forget about the good things that have happened in your life this year. And so this is a chance for you to reflect over the year, what are some big moments, what are some small things that you can be thankful for where you've seen God's goodness in 2024?
Thank you.
One thing I love about this passage in verse 51, it talks about Mary, Jesus' mother, treasured all these things in her heart. And she's an example to us. When God was at work in Mary's life, she was noticing what God was doing and treasuring those things in her heart. To treasure them meant she's taking these memories, these positive memories, she's collecting them up, she's serious about them, and she's treating them as treasure and keeping them secure in her heart. She's treasuring all these things in her heart. And my encouragement to you as you reflect on God's goodness to you in 2024, to treasure up those things in your heart. Don't leave this as just a little exercise on a piece of paper, but walk into 2025 treasuring up in your heart the good things God's done in your life in 2024. Passover was also about trials and challenges. It was about the people of Israel in slavery in Egypt. And in our passage, Mary and Joseph also face a trial. They can't find the boy Jesus. By the end of the story, we realize that they should have known where he was, but they didn't. And so we find them anxious and worried, frantic and confused. The next question I'd love you to reflect on is, what challenges did you face this year? And how did you respond? And how did you feel you grew through them? So the way I'm thinking about that is, a challenge is something that's happened to you, and then you've responded to that challenge. So you made a decision, I'm going to respond in this way, even if you weren't thinking along those lines. This challenge is something that's happened, and then how have you responded to that? Reflect on that question for the next few minutes. Thank you. Jesus tells Mary and Joseph, you were dealing with that challenge the wrong way. He says to them in verse 49, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? There are ways to grow in our approach to the challenges we're facing in our lives. And it's actually a really important question to ask. If the same challenges came your way again, how would you approach them with God's wisdom? How would you approach them differently? Now knowing what you know at the end of the year, how would you approach them maybe in a way that reflects God's word more, that reflects the teachings of Jesus more? People are less and less willing to, I think, reflect on the decisions they've made. But we should. We should assume that we're getting it wrong 90% of the time and that we can get it right a little bit more if we just reflect, and especially if we reflect on God's word and God's wisdom. So if you were going to face the same challenges again, how would you approach them with God's wisdom? Now we're going to change tack a little bit and think about 2025 for our last question. It says in Psalm 27, verse 13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. All over Scripture, we see a positive attitude about the future based on the goodness of God. I love this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Jesus invites us to think about the future positively, especially in our prayer life. He says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For the one who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door is opened. I want you to think about 2025 as a miracle year. What would it look like for 2025 to be a miracle year? Now, I don't mean a fantasy year. No one's going to give you a Ferrari, or you're not going to join the Australian cricket team or something like that. Maybe some of the young people might, but probably not next year. I want you to think genuinely, what would it look like if God really stepped into your life and did something miraculous? There was a kind of supernatural causality in your life in 2025, and maybe it solved some of the issues that you've been thinking about. Maybe it just made you see the goodness of God more in 2025. What would that look like? And how do you want God to help you grow over the next year? In our passage, it ends by saying Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It meant he grew intellectually, he grew in wisdom, he grew intellectually, he grew in his intelligence, in his understanding of the world as a 12-year-old. He grew in stature, he grew physically. He grew in favor with God. So his relationship with God developed even as the Son of God himself. And he grew in favor with people. So his relationships developed as well. So I'd love you to think about 2025. What would it look like for it to be a miracle year? How do you want God to help you grow over the next year? right, you're done. Good job. How'd you go? Obviously, everyone went differently. I'm sure everyone's minds are in different places as you've reflected on your year, as you've thought about next year. My encouragement to you is to take what you've written down or take what you've thought and share it with someone. Not now, not after the service. Just have a chance at some point to share this with someone else. And that's a great way to actually process your year together with someone. And it would be, I'm sure, a meaningful experience for you and for them as well. Another thing you can do is take this to your life group and just ask those questions as a group. We did that at the end, at our last life group meeting of this year. Our life group went through basically the same questions, and it was a really meaningful thing just to get everyone to respond in one way, just say one thing in response to this question. And we went around, and it was a beautiful way of reflecting on the year together as a life group. What we're going to do now is we're going to have a couple of songs of worship. I'll invite the band up. I'll pray that this is now an opportunity for you to respond to God in worship and in prayer. So take all of those thoughts you've just had and bring them before God as we sing to Him. And let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being a faithful God who is at work in our lives. We praise You that You are a God who is good and faithful. We join with the Psalms in saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Lord, we recognize that where we have been faithless, You have been faithful. You're faithful to us, You're present with us, and You are good. And Lord, we repent of sin. For many of us, this has been a reminder of some things where we've fallen short, some things we're ashamed of. We bring those to the cross. Lord Jesus, we recognize that You have paid the price for our sin. You've accomplished all that is required for us to receive grace and mercy and redemption and forgiveness. And so we bring our sin and our shame before You, and we ask, wash us clean. Cleanse us by the power of the gospel, by the power of Your blood, and fill us with Your Spirit. We pray as well as we look to next year, we pray that You would fill us with hope, fill us with a sense that You are at work in our lives, an awareness that You have good things planned for us. And we do ask, Lord, for Your miraculous hand to be at work in our lives. We want to see You at work. We want to see Your hand in our lives. And so we ask, O God of miracles, for Your miracles to be at work in our lives, for You to display Your glory and Your goodness in surprising and meaningful ways for us and for our families next year. We also pray for Your comfort as we process pain and loss, and we ask that You'd be with us by Your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.